What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another Homegrow TV podcast and talk show, where this week we have probably the most highly anticipated and requested podcast that I've done yet. It's with Copycat Genetics, and we cover some of the hardest questions I've ever had to ask, and we also cover some of the most exciting questions too, like the Homegrow TV unreleased strain. What's in it? We talk about the first details ever, and live on this podcast, I find out what was in it along with you guys. Then we cover some of the reasons on why it's so controversial. We talk about some points of like where he actually gets the strains from that he's crossing with, and some things like breeder ethics. We talk about some of the new strains that are going to be launching for Copycat Genetics, as well as a little secret project that might be coming in December. And for the sponsor segment on today's show, we got some brand new, and technically not a sponsor. They did not request this in any way, but I really wanted to feature Pulse Grow this week. Make your next crop your best crop, increase yields with data-driven insights about your garden, reliable custom alert mean that you can finally stop worrying about your grow. They break down all their data in really easy-to-understand ways on their dashboard that you can either get to from a computer or from the app. They show you things like daily averages and a bunch of other metrics in a really organized way that I've never been able to really access before this easily. You can see your temp, dew points, VPD, air pressure, CO2, and all that from this little monitor right here, the Pulse Pro. And now that they have zones built in, I can actually zone out each one of my grow rooms and set tracking on batches, meaning it's going to show me what day I'm on in flower, what week we're on, and then the room averages. Check out pulsegrow.com and use code HOMEGROWTV to save yourself a nice little chunk of change at checkout. Thank you everyone who uses those codes and supports the channel. Now, let's dive into the episode. Copy, my man, welcome back to the show, brother. How you doing?
What's up, Dakota? How you been, brother?
Dude, fantastic, man. A lot has changed. Last time you were on, I think it was a live that we were doing. We were doing a lot of the lives, a lot of the interviews we were doing live. This is your first time on the actual podcast where we're pre-recorded, right? We're going to dive deep today, bro. There's not the live, you know, chat going on. I did collect some questions from the community that we pulled from Instagram before this. But I'm hoping today, brother, that we kind of get to do a deep dive on the tester strain that we've been running. I want to talk about, you know, some of the hard questions I don't think are out of the light, or people have been had the chance to hear the answer to, or that I've been getting the questions from. So if you don't mind, brother, I want to dive right into it.
Yeah, let's go.
So the first thing, this was an email that hit my inbox a few months back. I'm on your email list, by the way. Shout out to that. I don't know if many people even know about it. It's great. I'm getting the emails all the time. And one of them was something to do with a new breeding technique or something that you're doing that I have no freaking clue what it is or even how to bring it up in vitro, or what is this new breeding thing that you were talking about in this email, and what's this new technique?
Yeah, so the genetic modification, and it's something I was interested in probably 4 or 5 years ago, even longer, like when we started doing the tissue culture stuff, and then right. Some of the, you know, the more knowledgeable people that's on my staff wanted to get into it. It took a bunch of money to invest. And yeah, basically, you know, people hear GMO and automatically they get turned off. They don't want nothing to do with it, GMO, right. You know. But basically all our foods, this is not like new technology or anything. It's just new to the cannabis industry. But yeah, basically, you know, we do that, and then a genome mapping, which could, you know, get the terpenes you want to get into a certain plant, a certain phenotype. So we dabble with that as far as the terps go, and then we dabbled in different things to achieve, you know, like certain conditions. As far as we got one for droughts, so it'll do way better in you know, dry climates, you got to water it less. We ran multiple different tests of the plants that we grew from that process, letting them dry out, and they wouldn't wilt for, you know, up to 48 hours longer than the normal genetics. So, you know, after running different ones and coming to our conclusions, I decided to release a few different varieties that were genetically modified. Now, Like I said, you know, it could be a bad thing, it could be a good thing, but to me, I look at it, it's all good things, you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
it's just the name, you know, when you stop playing with genetics and, you know, people want to put a label on it and say it's bad. But at the end of the day, I mean, all our food's genetically modified to help farmers, you know, grow how it is. And once it's
Okay.
federally legal in the United States, you're going to see a lot more of this. So I just try to stay ahead of where cannabis is going to go in the next 10 years. And, you know, by doing that, that's why, you know, I end up being more successful because I try to keep my mind out there, you know, thinking
Right.
outside of the box, thinking ahead of the game, ahead of the competition. And, you know, it might cost money. Sometimes we waste money, you know, and things don't work out the way they should. And that's part of the game. That's, you know, research and development. You know what I mean?
I got a sense that this was something kind of like groundbreaking or something that's kind of almost ahead of its time when I just was reading the email, just from like the wording. I hadn't seen this around the cannabis space yet. So to wrap my head around this process a little bit more, what you're essentially doing, it's not really anything different in the breeding section, but you're just having a better understanding of, like, you're mapping what's inside of that plant before you breed with it. Is that, did I understand that part correctly? Or can you walk us through a
Yeah,
bit more?
but it's at a genetic level, using genome targeting. So, you know, a lot of the stuff is grown in a petri dish first. So
Okay.
you know, it's at the cell level. So
Got
the
you.
same way you would get tissue culture and, you know, do your tissue culture thing with the little plants and they get bigger and all that, grow roots in a petri dish. It's the same thing, but we do use to achieve this, you gotta inject the cells with a virus that will contain what you're trying to add to the genomes. So it sounds all weird, but you know,
Yeah.
scientists know better, and my staff, you know, I got this one guy who's PhDs and all that. So,
No
you know,
doubt.
he explains it. The most part, most of the people ain't gonna understand. They hear virus, they hear genetic modification, it turns them off. Grow
Yeah.
it, see what you think about it. That's the way I look at it. At a genetic level, it's actually not even cannabis or cannabis sativa anymore or cannabis indica because it's been genetically altered. So it would actually be a new
Right.
species of the cannabis plant. You know what I mean? So in the future, there'll be all names for this as we go on, once, you know, the feds get involved and make it, you know, more known. It'll be different, you know what I mean? But that's also the only way you could actually patent the cannabis plant, the way like Monsanto patent their corn and their stuff like that. So it was
Yeah.
another way for me to figure out patenting cannabis for the long run. So my strains can be patented, and you could be sued if, you know, they can't be a copycat of copycat. You know what I mean? So you know, that was also part of it, but the main part of it was to bring cannabis just the next level of cannabis. So I could get
Wow.
what I want as far as terps, as far as withstanding droughts, this and that,
Yeah.
all into the plant genetically and produce seeds that works. You know what I mean?
That's
So
sick.
yeah, it's a little
Yeah.
bit ahead of the time, and you know, we worked on synthetic seeds as well. And you know, it's all very doable, and you know, we're doing it. It's just the marketplace ain't ready for it just quite yet. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no
Yeah,
doubt.
you know.
If when yeah, especially when you talk about the terp side of things, like if you like bringing the science in specific when you're choosing the terps, I can't even imagine where that's going to go. And I'm excited to keep, you know, seeing the updates from that. But how much right now, as far as like where you guys are now with that process, how much are you going to continue to use that, you know, learn about it, continue to test it compared to like your traditional breeding that you guys are doing now at Copycat?
As far as the space I have set aside right now, I have four tents dedicated to just R&D on my T series, which is the genome mapping and stuff like that. So we got significant,
Wow.
but as the years proceed and you know it becomes more popular, I can set aside more space, and yeah, we could keep pumping it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt, man. I still have to wrap my head around it a little bit more to even understand, especially a visual. I think it was just like last month or something, I seen this new thing. Athena had like this home kit for doing tissue culture, like kind of at home, I guess, or at least a portable kit. And that, yeah, just seeing that kind of where it's going, I'm like, holy smokes, bro. Like, things are about to change in a big way. And we have a question coming up later that I do want to get your perspective on where the industry is going in the next 10 years. But before we continue, I have a question, because I know right now, where are you chilling out right now, by the way?
I'm just in my car right now.
Dude, I don't even want to know, like, where, ask which one, because you got different ones on the gram all the time, bro. I love seeing the different stuff. That's just, the lifestyle is unbelievable. The level that you're living at over there is crazy. But I seen a change, and I didn't know today when we showed up for the podcast if I was actually going to be, we're going to be hanging out face-to-face or doing this, but I seen your Instagram you made recently public, right? You guys, you're verified on there now. You got your name on there. We can actually see your face on there now.
Yeah, I mean, it became time, you know what I mean? Just to, you know, show my face. I don't do it much, you know what I mean? And basically, you know, I'll show my face with my wife or whatever. And yeah, that's about it. You know what I mean? Just right, throw me out there. Fuck it.
Was there a specific moment? Was there a specific reason? Or was it just, so you said, like, it was just kind of the time? You always knew it was going to happen at some point. Like, it was a big deal, yeah, for me, at least personally, following for a while.
Mainly, you know, you get sick of the fake accounts going around robbing people, and then you get sick of people just, you know, thinking you're this guy, that guy, posting pictures or posting pictures of, you know, you that is old, or pictures that they fucking play with. You know, a lot of people play with the pictures, and I seen a few that they did the old app, and it made me look like I was 70 years old with and I was like, nah, I was like, I'm old. I was like, trust me, I'm old. I was like, but I don't be looking that old, dude. I said, so I just showed myself. I was like, you know, not like I'm a bodybuilder or anything like that, but I ain't 70, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt, brother. No, you're looking good, brother. Looking healthy, and it's always great to see you guys' adventures on there. And congratulations for it. When's your guys' due date, by the way?
October 8th.
That's awesome, man. That's great. Congratulations.
So somewhere
on that,
around that week.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man. Always creating amazing crosses, I think, is what I threw on. Always playing with fire genetics, you know what I mean? Creating a beautiful crosser, I'm sure. But I want to transition and ask you a question here about this collab that I've been getting a lot of questions about, and I want to kind of, you know, this is the first time we're actually going to be talking about this in public. We're going to actually kind of dive deeper into this. First time I'm going to be finding out with the viewers here of the podcast what is inside of that unreleased strain, which some know of it as the HGTV unreleased strain, right? We got Hygen testing it with us. We got Joe from Basement Grow Show testing it with us. We even got Cortland from Kronk. And then an outdoor grower here with facility running a beautiful 20 as well. So we got quite a few people on board testing this unreleased strain that you've passed over here to Home Grow TV, brother. So let's dive into it. First question of it, let's talk parent genetics. I have no idea what's in there. I specifically told you at the beginning, I don't even want to know what's in there yet until I have that sucker harvested, until I've had my own analysis of what's going on in the terps of how she grows. So I have no prior judgment from any parent genetics, but now I'm ready to ask, to figure out what's in there, and let's deep dive on some of my findings.
Exactly. So yeah, as you requested, I never gave you the lineage or anything like that. It was just a holdback from the queen line. So I did the queen, as every release I do.
Okay.
I pack the tent, I put 20 plants in there, 16 plants, however many I put in there, you know, usually in between 16 and 25, depending on the 4x4 or 5x5.
Yeah.
Now I've been doing box sets, so I only been releasing 5 of those crosses with the S1. So a lot of them I hold back for future hunts and they never get released. This was the queen was used for the reversal, so it was around that time frame when we started talking about it, when I released the queen.
Yeah.
It was crossed to the Mr. Big Runts, and that was crossed to Watermelon Z or Watermelon Skittles. So that was basically, it had no name, you know what I mean? It was just Watermelon Z crossed to Mr. Big Runts, which I didn't make a name for or anything like that. And that was crossed to the queen reversal, and those are the seeds that you're growing today, or that you already finished growing. So,
Dude. Yeah,
most likely you would get maybe some fruity terps from the watermelon Skittles. You'd get a little bit more fruit from the Mr. Big Runts with a little gas, and then you might get a little bit more gas from the queen. I'm not sure. I didn't see your strains. You didn't post any of the terp profiles. And I'm kind of excited to see what you guys come up with. Does it taste like candy? Did it runs cross over a lot? Did you get any of the watermelon in it? You know, did you get more gassy pheno that might be more green from the queen or more purple from the, you know, the runt side of things? So
I'm so excited that you just, bro, one question. Did you have, like, and again, I probably, you know, way out of my outside even asking this, but like, did you have Homegrown TV in mind at all when you had that Mr. Big Runts in there? Or was that just by chance in the universe making this happen?
Yeah, well, so I went through the list as you were saying that. I went through, you know, the 16 or 20 crosses I had available at that time. Right. That were, you know, not released. And because, you know, you were so popular, everybody always asking about the Mr. Big Runts. That was the closest I had, was the Watermelon Z cross the Mr. Big Runts in there. I didn't have the actual Mr. Big Runts in there, as that's quite old. So I said, fuck it, let me give him this one, you know, since he liked the Mr. Big Runts so much, maybe this will work out in his direction. I don't know if it worked out or not, but I seen the video you posted and the shit looked fire as fuck.
Dude, wait till you see what's coming. And so let's talk with it, because I'm going to talk you through a little bit of the phenos that I did find. I know what's really exciting. We got high again, and we'll go into that. And then also basement, because they're now just rocking into late flower now. So now they're also taking part in the conversation, what they're finding on the terp side. First off, I just want to say how grateful I am. For you even trusting Homegrow TV to test something like this that no one else had their hands on. It meant a lot. And now for me to find out what's in there, literally, bro, I got the craziest goosebumps of my life, because I have shots of me when we're analyzing each one and the terps and some of my findings, bro. And by the way, guys, anyone listening to this, we're also going to go into the plans. So what the plans are with this and why we ended up doing this, what is all this for? It's not just for nothing. You'll understand here in a second. But I found, like, four were like the most ridiculous. So I'm going to throw them up on the screen here as well. So we have four that we're going to go through are just the craziest gas, bro. Dense as heck, frosty, unbelievable. One of them was a little bit taller, and then the other ones were just nice on the shorter end. Very easy growers, but ridiculous on the gas side of things. Is that where I was finding – was that coming from the queen?
Most likely, yeah. Queen's heavy on the gas.
Got you. Yeah, and out of those four, there was like two of them that were like purple. Like just purple, like just unbelievable. And then the other ones were, can't remember exactly. I'll throw the pictures up here exactly so you guys can see the four that I'm referring to. I think there might have been one that was on the green, the other three were on the purple. Just gassy as heck, ridiculous. Then I found there was three particular that really stood out to me, because they were heavy feeders right from the very beginning. They were taller, well, at least two of them were. One was kind of in the middle range, but the terps on it almost brought me back to this haze world. Or like a lemon skunk, or like almost like an amnesia, something I never would have expected in this combo. But it's like I say that and it's so unfair. Anyone listening to this that knows an amnesia, knows a lemon skunk, you like, it's not that. It's like it was like a gassy version of it or something different, but it was in the haze world. Where would that side kind of be coming from, if you had any guesses?
Yeah, probably the Mr. Big Runts, you know, from the Mr. Big Stuff side. Mr. Big Stuff, the original, was definitely had the spicy vibe to it.
Right. Got you. So what I wouldn't have found, basically the other side of my Mr. Big Runts winner, my number one still, like what I found on there, that was the other side of things. Now you're saying that the Mr. Big Stuff, that's where it would have came from inside that parent genetics. Okay.
Yeah, and the genetics go so far back, you know what I mean? So especially fucking with so many hybrids, poly hybrids piled on top of each other. It gets crazy, you know what I mean? It gets crazy as far as terp profiles. That's why it's always great to just, you know, do large pheno hunts and see who's standing out.
Bro, it was a big learning curve for me, because I want to talk about number 22. There was another one that looked literally like, bro, identical to the episode of The Drip. Like, identical, it looked like The Drip, but almost like kind of it must have been almost similar. It's been a while since I had the Drip phenos here, or the terps. But I found number 22, and that's the one that you've most probably been seeing the most of on Instagram, the one I've been talking about the most. Yep. And, bro, I'm so glad I didn't ask you what was in there before because of this. When I freaking got my nose in there, bro, and I was smelling it already early, I was like, oh, my God. Even the way she was growing in veg, I was kind of, like, leaning towards. I was like, okay, this is nice. Veg means nothing. That's how she goes in flower. In flower, she was already one of the earliest to start giving me terps, and then late flower, she was screaming, ridiculous, watermelon candy, and it's the first time I've ever had something so loud in that world. it brought me back to like one of the phenos that I've almost found in the Babysitter, like in that fruity realm of the Babysitter, the raspberry, something like that. But it was so much louder, bro, and it was really, I understood what watermelon is. Is that what watermelon Skittles, like it actually tastes like watermelon? You're actually getting those flavors from watermelon from that that watermelon Skittles?
Yeah, the watermelon Z cut that I had, you know, I still got it, but that I ran a while back, was definitely like watermelon Sour Patch Kids or watermelon candy, you know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, but it wasn't pretty, bro. You know, a lot of the Skittles crosses are always, you know, they're not the
That's
prettiest.
That's what I've heard. You know I've heard they're mean? Hard so, to work with. They grow kind of strange or like kind of spidery. Oh, my God.
But they
God,
got
dude.
Great terps. Great
and,
terps,
and so
but bag
the color
appeal's
purple?
Whack.
And the bag appeal purple as well, like almost like that grape color, like looks like a grapevine or something.
Yeah, that's why you got to hit it, you know, with newer age stuff that's super frosty and really bring it to life, you know what I mean?
Right. Oh, my God, bro. So I feel like now after speaking to you, knowing that I found something in that watermelon Skittles world, something that grows so strong, one of the strongest structures in there, you know, great yielder as well, easy feeder, like just unreal, not a sign of any problems whatsoever. That is my like my craziest winner. Now to know the history that the Mr. Big Runs is in there, right? Something so delicious, watermelon. I'm a freak for anything fruit if it's unique. You got me even crazier, bro. That's my first watermelon. I'm so blessed to have it. That sucker's a crazy winner, dude.
Good. Now I'm glad you like it.
Dude, you absolutely crushed it, bro. And you've also opened my eyes to bigger pheno hunts. This is the first time ever on the channel that we popped 20. We still got to see what's going on over there. And the outdoor, they're going into flower in August. They're going to be monsters, bro. They're going to be ridiculous monsters. Hyagen has a pheno. You've seen that one? They had just one that they threw in the tent. They pulled what I pulled on my Mr. Big Runs. They threw in just the one, you know? And, bro, they're saying they got the Sour Patch Kids. They're getting the candy side of things.
Nice.
Just a ridiculous producer on that side. And I'm still waiting to hear from Grower Joe on that side. I'll make sure I throw in some pictures of each one of them. But I want to kind of reveal a little bit of the plan that initially how this kind of started. I have, you know, a very high respect for everything that you've done and how I found you, originally being my brother Dickie from Canada, being the one who introduced me. Dude, you got to follow Copycat. You got to follow Elevated. You got to follow Loki. And that's how originally I got in touch with you. And I think, you know, when I first ran the Mr. Big Runs, do you remember like how many subs I had or how big the channel even was at that time?
Not big at all, right?
No, dude, we were like I think under 3,000. We were just getting started, and I really wanted to try something from Copycat. And we ended up trying the Mr. Big Runs and the Drip. And since then, it was one of the earliest things in the test that we've done on the channel. And since then, we've continued to test more. And I had big plans in the future here at Homegrow TV. So I'm revealing it officially to you guys. I asked Copy, what are the chances we could get something exclusive for Homegrow TV that we could, one, take to all the cups here in Colombia and have something exclusive that we know we'd be the only ones bringing to the cup with. And then number two, down the road in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, I want to start crossing our own flavors down here in Colombia, and I wanted the most badass mum to start with, and I wanted to hunt her big. So that's why we ended up popping the 50 here in Colombia, and we found our mum. And at some point, we're going to start breeding with that number 22, just as an experiment here, preservation, cross from our favorite stuff into it to start getting our hands dirty in that world. So that's the official plan. So I want to ask you, Copy, here in front of everyone, what do you think if we hold off on releasing that strain or keeping it private, if you don't mind, here at Homegrow TV for some secret plans that I have in December where some other people might get to test that strain along with us, just like High Again, just like Basement is doing. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool. You know I'm down with it.
Dude, okay, good. And I know anyone listening might be like, dude, why are you doing that? Why are you making us wait? There's so much stuff coming out week to week from Copy. There's so much fire. There's so much amazing stuff. I got the Wolfaholic going right now. We're doing the Watermelon Wolf as well, full packs. So there's a lot of other stuff to be able to flavor and test in the meantime. And just wanted to put that out there that in December, there might be an opportunity for others to be able to test the same thing with us as well. But we'll keep it at that for right now. And I want to move on to something that I think makes you such a unique conversation point, Copy. Something that a lot of people talk about, and it's like, why are you such a controversial breeder? What makes you controversial? So do you mind if we talk about why are your haters so loud and a few of the things that they talk about, just so we can address it and be open about it?
Yeah, whatever you want to talk, say it.
Okay. And sorry, bro. I feel like I've been going on a hardcore rant. I just got so excited after that news you just shared on that unreleased here. About to be throwing a lot more back in your court. But before we dive into some of these comments, I just want to share something with you, Copy, because I know that you don't know this on the statistical side. So I get comments, you know, there's a few people that are quite loud about some things that we're going to address, some questions. I don't know if some of these are rumors or what the heck is going on, but I want to get to the bottom of some of these questions. But I just wanted to share this before we do it, because I get people wondering, like, dude, why are you growing this up? What's going on? You know, and it makes me think, I'm like, is there a lot of people that really dislike Copy? So I dove through the numbers before we did this. And I want to say my most liked video, The Power, S1, Seed to Harvest, was from Copycat Genetics. We have a total of 3,619 likes. And there's only 66 dislikes for a total of 98.2% like. So I didn't see any major differences of like anything dropping anytime I posted anything Copy. I want to share with you really quick the Mr. Big Runs. We had a 98% like rate. There was only 35 dislikes and 2,000 likes. And then on the last one, 11 dislikes and 1,300 likes on the drip. So I'm starting to get this like sense, the more investigation I do from my end, and let's dive into some of these questions, but there's haters. I feel like there's a few of them and they're really loud, bro. So before we even dive into specifics, can I ask you why, from your perspective, like why are some of these haters so loud, bro? Why are they coming on my profile? Why are they commenting on every chance they get when I post something Copy?
Yeah, honestly, I don't have a fucking clue why. Like, you're right about there being like a few haters and they just work extra hard at it. But, yeah, I don't know why the fuck they do what they do or whatever. Because, you know, if anybody ever had a problem ever, they hit me up. They get it taken care of immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and that's kind of the vibe I got from you, bro, that I could just bring some of these things up. So I'm going to just go ahead and throw it out. Some of the things that throw up on my comments. Like, he's been known to steal genetics. He's got really high prices. Everything Herms, the way he speaks is ridiculous, and your IG profile is out of control. So I'll just let you freestyle and just hit some of those things that I know you see all the time as well, bro.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the prices, you know, the market dictates the prices. I mean, you know, some shit's very expensive because of the demand. I mean, we're extremely popular, and people pay the high prices. If you didn't want to pay high prices, sign up for the email list. I cut deals to everybody that's been true. You know what I mean? You obviously, if you're on the gram, you know Sohai, you go through him, get deals, whatever. So, I mean, it is what it is as far as the prices. Well, what was the other one?
So
what's
here, the let's other talk one? This one. The next one, let's talk about this, because this one I know as far as stealing genetics, and I think we can bring it to a spot as far as like, what are the ethics nowadays, bro, for crossing other people's strains? I mean, your name says a lot in itself, Copycat Genetics. Let's talk a little bit about this whole thing, about people telling me about you stealing strains. What does that mean?
Yeah, so for one, nothing's ever stolen, okay? And this started under Big Dan way back, you know, when Forum Cookies first came out. I'd made S1s, you know, with the silver spray way back in the day. And I started getting mad hate, you know, like people would hate that I did it. I was doing it basically to, you know, if the clone ever got lost, I wouldn't have to sort that clone out again, and I would have the S1s, and I would find my own pheno that was, you know, very similar to the clone. So right. That's why I was making S1s, and, you know, they became in demand, and, you know, when I would sell them, people would get fucking super mad that I was, you know, making S1s. That's how I came up with the Copycat name, because, you know, I got so much hate for it under Big Dan. I was like, yo, fuck it. Just make a joke name to, you know, really stick it up their ass for people that got mad about it. You know what I mean? I was right. Like, if you're going to get mad, might as well just call it what it is, Copycat Genetics. You know what I mean? But as far as stealing, none of it's stolen. You know, if a facility, you know, workers there are getting paid, you know, $15 an hour, $20 an hour, and they're taking cuts out the back door and, you know, selling them to their friends to make, you know, a G here, 5 Gs there, whatever the fuck they're charging, I'm not stealing nothing. I'm just buying whatever the fuck these people are selling. It's happening in every facility across America, you know? Right. So, I mean, I'm just bringing the people what they fucking want. I'm not stealing a motherfucking thing. And as far as, you know, crossing this to that or using a popular cut and making S1s or any of this shit. This shit's out. I mean, someone else is going to do it. They're just going to take longer to do it. So they're going to wait. You know, like I was hearing it about Gary Payton, and, you know, that was in 2018 or whatever, and Powers Up got wicked mad. And I was like, dude, you sold the cut $10,000. Now you're mad I made seeds with it. And you're saying it's fake. You're saying it's this. He comes on the live and then he admits that, oh, well, I did sell the cut, da, 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 you know, and he admits that it was legit. But he continued bashing me for releasing the seeds. But now you see Exotic Mike. You see pretty much every breeder breeding with Gary Payton or Runtz or Cereal Milk or all these strains that I released way before that everybody hated me for doing it. We're super mad. Talking about boycott, copy, fucking this, that. But now everybody does it. It's okay because the strain's played out and old. Well, I think they should all be thanking me because if I didn't get the cut in the first place and I sold, you know, if I get the cut for $10,000 and then go sell four cuts for $5,000 a piece, I make a little profit for myself and give you a better deal on the cut. And then you could go sell the cuts, and now the cuts are $1,000 a piece and cheaper. Now you're making seeds and crosses with the cuts. If I never paid the big top dollar for it, you would have never had it. You know what I mean? So why ain't you thanking me? Instead of fucking hating on me, thank me that I fucking had the money to put up in the first place to get these fucking things. And they look at it backwards. You know, they want to hate. They want to do all that shit. Look at it the way it's supposed to be. It's business. You know, I put my money up first, the fastest, so I got it quicker than you guys, and then I cut you a deal on it, and yeah, I cut it to 4, 5, 6 people, 10 people, so I make my profit, I get my money back, I make a little profit, just like anything, and now you get to do the same. If it wasn't for me to have the balls and the connects to do it in the first place, you would have never had the cut. So I don't see why anyone's hating about it. You know what I mean? It makes no sense. It's stupid. People do my shit all the time. Like, you're going to be crossing one of my strains. Tons of companies, you know, built their business on cuts they bought from me. No one gives the credit. A few people give credit, but a lot of people don't because they don't want to admit. But, you know, I mean, it's quite obvious. You see how successful I am. Where the fuck you think they're going to get the cuts? You know what I mean?
Do you think, like, for me watching from the outside, it kind of feels like there's almost this unwritten rule or this certain type of, like, again, we're addressing it back to like ethics, that certain people, it's like a bro code, or let me phrase it this way. Is there an unwritten rule between breeders that basically says, like, bro, if my certain things first hit the market, I expect you not to grab it and cross with it to release it as well? Like, is that kind of the vibe?
Like, back in the day, I played by those rules. I played very fair, and, you know, if you work with this, you know, even today, I still, you know, will let people eat first, for especially the people I work with or good people. I'll let them eat first and then wait if it's even fire enough for me to work with it, you know what I mean? But, you know, if you're not working with people and people ain't giving you no respect and no type of credit or even going as far as bad talking you, then I make it a mission to get your shit. You know what I mean? Because if you're going to sit there, bad talk me, never give me respect, say I'm not a breeder, say all my shit's fake, all my shit herms, all that, no problem. Then it should, if everything's fake and everything herms, then it shouldn't be a problem when I get you cut and fucking release it super fast. You know, it takes me 56 days to flower the fucking thing and hit it with a reversal and fucking put the seeds out on the market. So it's a very quick thing. And a lot of the times, the facilities, I have clones before the public ever even knows about it because they're still in veg. They're in R&D. They haven't made it to full production, where that's next year. You know what I mean? Next year, you'll see the strains in full production. You know, I get the strains when they're being pheno hunted, you know, before they're ever brought to market. So I'll have my seeds come out, the S1s, way before you even know the strain's popular. You know what I mean? It happened with Pancakes. It happened with a lot of strains. I'll release the seeds. You won't even know. Then you'll hear Burner talking about it. Then you'll hear, you know, these guys talking about it later because now it's in production. By the time it makes production, I already got the seeds available. You know what I mean?
And so is that only possible from you, like from inside connects that you have? Is that something that's available from other people in the industry, like from a certain price point? Or like, how do you get those specific, like, hot testers?
I mean, I've been in the game since 92. So, you know, obviously back in the day, Cali was a big hit. So, of course, I went to Cali a lot to build connects in the cannabis world, the underground cannabis world, where, you know, we needed pounds for cheap. You know what I mean? And then a lot of those guys, you know, they're friends. You meet friends, you shake hands, and now they're working in facilities. Their head growers in facilities. Me and a lot of these people were in the trenches, you know, shipping hundreds of pounds back and forth way before this shit was legal. So they know my money's good, and they know they need more money. That's the end of the tune. You know what I mean? So they'll do whatever it takes. They know I'm a solid motherfucker. I come correct with the money, and, you know, they got bills to pay. So it is what it is. You got to remember, you know, the game started from where it was. Now it's legal. The market is what it is, and people still got bills to pay. So if you think, you know, your head grower ain't going to be fucking taking cuts and selling them on the side when he's only getting paid whatever his fucking paycheck is, the dude's got to hustle, and he's too scared now because we're all older. So they don't want to be pushing 100 fucking pounds a day. They just want, you know, a little extra 10 grand here, 20 grand here. And that makes up at the end of the year. That's an extra couple hundred grand. You know, now they get to live a little bit better, you know what I mean, than just making 70 grand a year as a head grower. So at the end of the day, money talks, but also it's a lifetime of never burning bridges. And I tell people all the time, don't burn bridges. Keep everybody happy. You never know when you're going to need them in the future. You might do bad. You might need their help for something. You burn a bridge, now you're fucked. You know, so it's just a lifetime of making connections, man. It's very simple. And, you know, I don't understand the, you know, the way people think by burning bridges and fucking doing all stupid shit. Me, I always kept my, you know, all I got is my word. If, you know, I was broke for a long time, all I had was my word. And fucking, I just kept it that way. And here I am.
Dude, that's straight up. I appreciate you for diving into this stuff, man. The few times we have had the chance to talk on lives or, you know, before that, whatever, I've got that vibe from you, and you seem like the type of person I can ask these type of hard questions. The next one being kind of strange, bro, because I have no context, right? Like, I got introduced to you when I just got started here again, like, what, 3 years ago? And I'm just going to fucking throw it out there, bro. Did Big Dan die? Who is he, and what's up with that rumor, bro? Because I've heard that 3 or 4 times, literally, bro. No. Even in Colombia, someone came up to me, and they're like, dude, you know Big Dan died, and then Copy really went over and took over. What is that, dude?
No, so anytime you want, you could go and watch Big Dan videos on YouTube. Go subscribe to his channel, Big Dan Screen Time, right?
I subscribe,
You watch it, you know it's me. You could hear the fucking voice clean as day. No, Big Dan was... is me and was made as a joke. But back in 2006, I was teaching my cousin, who his name is Dan. We called him Big Dan. I made the channel Big Dan Green Thumb. My cousin's still alive. All right. So I made the videos for him, teaching him how to grow weed. I started getting likes and comments and shit. I had no idea even how to work YouTube. Right. And I'm like, dude, I didn't know people could see my videos. I thought I sent the link, and they were private, so he could watch the fucking videos of how to learn how to grow weed. That's how I made Big Dan. You know what I mean? But no, Big Dan's not dead. Well, what they confuse is there was a kid, Alan Grant, who was selling seeds under the name Copycat in, you know, forums, or not on Instagram. He was like in forums more, like back, you know, like 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And his name was Alan. He died. But a lot of people thought he was the breeder because he was running around selling my packs, you know, kind of like how Sohi does it. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Selling the packs and, you know, making his little money. He would buy packs from me and go sell them wherever the fuck he sold them, which a lot of people do this shit. But, you know, he used the name. A lot of his screen names was Copycat or whatever the fuck. And yeah, people thought he was Copycat. The dude wasn't a fucking breeder. He was just fucking selling seeds on the side. And yeah, maybe he made some crosses or on his own. Who fucking knows? I don't know. You know what I mean? But he ended up dying. He was, you know, he used drugs. He owed me a bunch of money and ended up passing away, whatever the fuck happened. But yeah, people take that story, run with it. Like, I stole the name. The name's the dumbest name in the world. Nobody would steal the fucking name Copycat. I made it as a joke, is what it is. You know what I mean?
Right. Bro, yeah, it is ridiculous, and that's why I've had no answer, and I'm like, why are, like, and people come to me insane, I don't even know what to say or think, and then the backside of me was like, I kept thinking in the back of my head the whole time, though, like, why does it even fucking matter right now? I'm just here looking for fire. And I don't know what type of drama you guys are bringing to me, but, like, okay, like, it just kept there. And I won't lie to you, Copy. Like, there was a side to me in my head. Like, I'm glad we're getting this out on the table, because that one was, like, that was just so weird that I'm, like, could there be something there? And what a stupid story, you know.
No, that doesn't make sense. That's all it is. I mean, I tell it how it is 100% of the time. Fucking same shit. You ask me the same question a fucking million times 10 years from now, it's the same story, because I tell the facts, like it or don't. That's how it is. But I've been making seeds since 92. Ain't nobody else has. So where the fuck you think the seeds are coming from? I mean, it's plain and simple. Like, I show everything on my lives, all the fucking rooms, all the tents, me breaking up the buds with the seeds. I've been doing it so fucking long, it became boring doing it. You know what I mean?
Dude, I turned from human. I turned from seed to human in 92, bro. I didn't even freaking see this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, you know,
2000s, dog.
I've been doing this shit forever. So, you know, it ain't nothing new to me. But, yeah, I mean, people make up their own stories. I hear new stories all the time, and I fucking laugh at them. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah, that is laughable. That's a funny one, bro. And that's just last thing on the Big Den. So that's that channel on YouTube. Before we ever had our first call or live, I was doing my own research, and I found that channel. And is that the same one you had a roadkill crocodile on there, and you were in your car, bro, and you went and filmed it? Was that channel?
Yeah. So you can see it's obviously me, because I still do the same shit today. You'll see.
And
like,
I was analyzing the voice, bro, because it was the first rumors that came to me from that. And I was going in, and I'm like, okay, let's. I'm like listening. I'm like, and then I seen the snake thing, and I was like, I was even more confused, bro. I was like, who is this guy, Copy? And then, you know, okay.
Yeah, on the Big Dan videos, you can see my snake collections, and obviously it's very easy to put together. Now at first, I would try to like separate the two, because I didn't want Big Dan, because Big Dan still is a good profitable brand. So right. I didn't want people hating on Big Dan because of my copycat side. So I would try to separate the two. And when people would ask me, oh, are you Big Dan? I'd be like, nah, I'm not Big Dan. You know what I mean? Because I don't want the hate from copycat to trickle over there. That's the whole reason I made copycat, was to draw the hate away from Big Dan. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you know, I started doing lives and shit, and there was just no more denying it. So I just fucking said, yeah, I'm Big Dan. What the fuck you want me to tell you? You know what I mean?
Right. And that's even something recently, too. I kind of even got more clear on Big Dan. That's where the regulars, we can still hunt regulars through there. You got different stuff dropping through Big Dan as well,
so now, you know, within the last few years, I just kept Big Dan as mainly all regular seeds, and all the feminized stuff and S1s I do under copycat. So that was just much easier for me. I just... any of my regular tents, those all get released under Big Dan. They're more original. They're more, you know, they're regular seeds. And then, you know, if I find phenos in there I want to bring on the copycat side, I S1 them and, you know, do my stuff over here on the copycat side.
That's sick, man. Yeah, I'm excited. Won't go into this one, but we are going to be hunting through some regulars on that side to find ourselves a male as we go into this whole journey of breeding and this whole thing. But that's for another time. To finish on my end, before we get to the community side, we got some other questions. But on this topic that we're on, or I guess kind of this whole genre that we're on right now of kind of digging into the controversy behind you, there's a lot of finger pointing in the industry in general. And this is outside of – this is everything. I've seen it on a lot of different podcasts, a ton of different brands, and it's people and growers and breeders pointing fingers at each other about herms, you know. So yep. I want to ask you, like, what's a real rate? And I'm just asking – outside of copy, I'm asking, first of all, what's a real, actual, reasonable rate of herms that we could expect of growers going into feminized seeds in general?
Yeah, I mean, it always comes down to the crosses, you know what I mean? So in today's world, where everything coming from fucking cookies, Gorilla Glue, this, that, chems, you know, you're going to find herms. As far as a ratio, it's luck of the draw with the packs, you know what I mean? You got to remember, a plant produces, you know, maybe 10,000 seeds or more, depending on what strains, how good they produce the seeds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you got a pack of 10 seeds and you were unlucky as fuck and every single one of them hermed on you, yeah, that's pretty unlucky. You know, that's like hitting the fucking bad lottery. You know what I mean?
Literally.
I never seen that happen in my life. I pop all my own packs. I would never get 10, pop 10 seeds and you get 10 herms. Never seen it. You know what I mean? So, you know, more likely than not, you fucking grow 10 seeds. You might get one or two herms. I mean, it happens. You throw them the fuck out. You keep it moving, you know? You're playing with poly hybrids. You're playing with exotics. You're playing with fucking, you know, a lot of these strains were found, the clone onlys were found from a herm plant. You know what I mean? It's right. like farm right. cookies or Gorilla Glue, you know? Some of these plants were actually found from a hermaphrodite.
Yeah,
so, yeah, you got herm tendencies in there, and it happens from time to time. Is it a big deal? It's never a big deal. Is it hermaphrodites, the cannabis plant in general, will shoot nanners out, even your most stable fucking strain, your clone that you've been running for years, it'll want to self-pollinate. A lot of plants self-pollinate. Plants in general, a lot of them, especially peppers, will self-pollinate. They don't have a male or a female plant. They just fucking self-pollinate. So cannabis, when you take the males away, they want to survive. What they'll do is shoot nanners at the end in order to make seeds so that plant could make another generation. That's what the plant wants to do. Anybody right. that knows or studies cannabis already knows that. So the only time you hear complaints about hermaphrodites is a new grower who has a plant limit, who only planted 6 seeds and is super mad because one hermed. Now he right. only has 5 plants. That motherfucker is going to scream for months about how he caught a herm. Dude, that's right. part of the game. You know what I mean? It's not my fault you can only grow 6 plants. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's what I want to ask you, like, openly and honestly, you obviously get feedback from your growers. You have a lot of growers. It's sick, man, because every time I post, I feel the love, bro. Like, that's why my most liked video on YouTube, it comes from your community. I started to realize the more I post your stuff, like, you got some badass growers out there. Oh, 1 second. Single phone camera. Okay.
Yeah, shout out to all the growers.
Yeah, shout out to your growers, by the way. So getting a survey from them, openly and honestly, have you had certain strains that you found that were a little bit more herm susceptible that did have herms? Have you found some in general from your growers that were like, dude, yeah, we found some numbers higher than usual in other cases? Like, what are the feedback from your growers on this topic?
Yeah, honestly, some strains will produce more hermaphrodites. Some things cross with Gary Payton. A lot of the stuff that will come from that cookies type of lineage will, you know, be a 20% herm rate, something like that. And, you know, you could always, you know, do like something like how Capillator would do it and be like, oh, I won't release those seeds. But, dude, if you're finding High Times winners, you know, Cannabis Cup winners in those packs, I don't feel like you should ever hold a strain back because there was fucking 2 seeds out of 10 or 3 seeds out of 10 fucking right. herm. You know what I mean? Because the other ones are going to be cup winners, you know? Right. So fucking me holding it back because you got a herm or that just is ridiculous to me because the fire you're going to find outweighs the fucking 20% chance. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So, I think it's a... Or go ahead.
Yeah. So that's just my outlook at it. You know, if you're going to find that fucking High Times centerfold, well, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? You want me to hold those back? That's crazy. You know what I mean?
I like that, man. I'm glad you said it that way. For me as a grower, especially like even outside of Home Grow TV in my late nights, I'm watching podcasts, I'm listening to the industry, I'm listening to these growers. And I almost feel like there's this unhad conversation about it, whereas some people's perspective is like, I got a herm, it's all garbage, and they're throwing away, and they're freaking out. Whereas I'm listening to a podcast, I think it was Masonic and First Smoke of the Day, and he was talking about he's ripping through, you know, he's ripping through, okay, herm here, going through, and he was just finding the gold. And I'm like, that's so weird the way he spoke about it, whereas I go on Instagram the way it was spoken about from said person, and I'm not saying anything, you know, by pointing that out. I'm just saying I feel like there's more conversation to be had around the conversation of herms. I think there's definitely more openness to be had around it. My last episode, I showed we had a mess up with light leaks. There was a strain that was very susceptible. It was a ridiculous herm, and we were open about it. And I felt like the community appreciated, liked it, and that's definitely my mission. So there's nothing more, I guess, on my end to go into here, but it's definitely something I want to continue to have that convo and ask breeders. And let me know what you guys think listening to the podcast on that. On that specific topic, one thing. So now, dude, I feel like we're out of the weeds with that. That was kind of like my sweaty palm part of the podcast. I'm like, all right, I'm kind of nervous to ask you this shit, but we got it out of the way. I want to talk about something fun because I want to know, is this part of like a passion project? Was this part of your guys' plans? Let's talk about the wolf crosses.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, Gianna, her, you know, Gianna Wolf, whatever. So, yeah. I mean, it's a cool last name. It, you know, obviously it's her maiden last name. And Yeah, I flew with it because it sounded mad cool, and yeah, she brings me a lot of inspiration, and I care a lot, and love her dearly, and she changed my life in many ways and let me see true happiness and stuff. So
Does
I
she lean more on the
fucking
fruity terps, or is she a gas girl?
yeah. So the original one was definitely a blend of candy gas, and yeah, we flew with it, and then I just started doing different crosses. I mean, the pheno I found was epic, so I crossed it to a lot of different strains, and then those started coming out, Watermelon Wolf Pack, this, that. I had a lot of different crosses that I started hunting and making S1s of those, and yeah, it just snowballed into a whole bunch of new fucking varieties, and
It's
it is what
sick,
it is,
man.
you know what I mean?
I felt like, I don't know, I could be totally wrong. Maybe I'm onto something, but I felt like maybe there was some extra fire put into the wolf crosses, you know what I mean? From
Yeah,
like
the first one, yeah, because it was the first one, and I wanted to make sure it was the best of the best that I had,
Right.
before I ever slapped, the name on it, to make her proud or whatever.
That's
And
what I figured, bro.
yeah, obviously that was, of course, key is making sure it was going to be fucking epic. And
Right.
yeah, and then we just it snowballed after that, and here we are.
Dude, yeah, and the two, just really quick. I don't know if you have any extra info if you wanted to talk about it really quick, because we're hunting two full packs right now of the Watermelon Wolf and the Wolfaholic. At first, you pulled me in with the name because I knew there was going to be some extra detail or, some extra beauty going into these wolf crosses. But then when I started diving into your terp description, we're talking about something that is supposed to be the most extreme when we're talking orange, right? With that Wolfaholic. Hardcore on the orange or hardcore on the citrus, I believe, if I remember correctly. And then the watermelon. Do you have any extra info for me going into? I'm just week two veg right now. Anything to get me excited before we
Yeah,
kick into flower on those?
the Wolfaholic, so it's got the Mac in there too, because Macaholic was
Ooh.
my like a few years ago, Macaholic was one of the most like tangy type of citrusy vibes, but with
Damn.
looks like Mac, you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
that was the original Mac, and crossed into that to make the Macaholic, and then I crossed that to the Wolf to make the Wolfaholic. And yeah, the
Oof.
pheno we got is super orangey, which I'm not a big fan of oranges and the tangy type of vibe,
Right.
but I felt I needed something new for this year that crossed all the boxes in that world. So I was hunting through those in hopes to find a real orangey type of pheno, more, well, that was better than Mimosa, better than obviously Tangy or Callio, all those old strains. But
Right.
that looked, super fire, that brought that same type of terp profile for the people that love that terp. And
Right.
yeah, we found it, and yeah, we made the S1s on it, and here we are with the fucking Wolfaholic
Heck
for
yeah, bro. I appreciate you,
2023,
man. Thank you for me and all.
2023 orange.
Beautiful, yeah, dude. And again, thank you for me and everyone else who's a fruit lover, because sometimes there's certain breeders that forget about us, and there's so much focus around gas. There's so much focus around, these new evolutions of different areas, and it's just like, yeah, dude, something like a beautiful orange. And so I'm going through that in with my intention to be to hunt something that is just as crazy delicious as my Mr. Big Runs, which I chose that orange leaning one. But something a little bit crazier on the production side, hopefully. Maybe even a washer. I'm getting big into extracts, which, bro, by the way, that unreleased sucker, that's going to the cup at the Caribbean Cup in live rosin and hash, bro. So that's gonna be nuts.
Nice.
Let's talk really quick before we get to the community section, because I think the community section is gonna be fun. And how are you on time, by the way, brother? You still good for a bit?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm chilling.
Okay, because I want to talk about what's coming for the new crosses, dude. Let's talk about the new that you haven't even sent on, no privy to, no email. What's in the works right now? What's coming?
We got a man, we always got too much coming. Right now, I'm running 36
literally?
tents. So, and then I got an overflow area still, and we're just doing tons of new drops. It's hard to keep up with just breaking down the seeds and packaging at this point. So, we're doing basically two or three full drops every single week, and each tent, like I said, has 16 to 25 plants in it. So that's a lot of material that has to be, worked with, and that's a lot of seeds that have to be broken down. That's why I went from releasing full lines to only doing box sets to make it a little easier on us as far as seed sorting, packaging, because then you got
Right.
tons of seeds packaged. some sell more than others. Now you're talking inventory, and you know, you stop running out of space to keep all these fucking packs at.
Right.
So yeah, as far as new drops, I mean, we did a bunch of clone onlys, and we're still doing a lot of clone onlys. But we're working out a lot of the original stuff, and yeah, it never ends.
Is there anything that pops out or that you could share? Like, you know how we were talking about earlier, some of these new things before it even gets dropped by Burner, before it even gets talked to by anyone. Is there any, for any of us like hardcore genetic nerds, where it's going in the next 6 months, 8 months? Is there any hot strain names that you think are going to become a hot topic towards the end of the year?
There's tons of them, man. There's so much stuff, and a lot of the clones I get are, you know, the names ain't even popular yet. So right. There's just so much right now. You know, a lot of the queen crosses are coming to life. So I got a lot of the queen crosses all finishing up as far as bringing them into S1 forms. And then, you know, a lot of the clone onlys, I run those and make sure that they're fire before I try, you know, ever making S1s or anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're constantly getting, you know, boxes of cuts in with names that I never fucking heard of, and you know, I trust my people that they're gonna be fire, but I still grow them to make sure they are actually fucking super fire, because right. You know, some of the stuff like the permanent marker was, you know, supposed to be the firest shit ever. I didn't really like the taste of it. It turned like really dark purple, and it is super popular.
Yeah.
And we did a bunch of crosses with it, and you know, there's a lot more coming. But yeah, some of the stuff I don't think is like super fire or super tasty, but ends up blowing up because they pump it in production, and they pump the brand, and it, you know, it takes over the marketplace, and there's better stuff out there, you know. So that's why people ask me, you know, what's your favorites, what's your five favorites, this and that, and it's hard because the stuff I like, you might not like, you know what I mean? I still like Hellraiser. I still like The Wolf. You know, there's different things that I'll love that people won't like it. And, you know, like me, I didn't like Permanent Marker. Some of the crosses, you know, I had to make it a little prettier. I had to add more gas to it. The Permanent Marker tasted a little chemically to me, so I didn't like it. You know, the original soap strain, I didn't like that. It tasted like soapy and weird to me, like wax candles or something.
Uh-huh.
So, like, some of the stuff I don't like, but then, you know, it's a top seller. Like, when I first released the soap, that thing made a killing, and I couldn't keep it in stock. But yet, I didn't like it at all. You know what I mean? So...
Totally, man. That's why I love having these conversations, and especially it was a really good one having Mickey out from Elevated Cannabis, because his taste and experience with Copycat Genetics was so different from mine, where I'm on this like fruit journey. You know, he was just like looking for this hardcore medicated, you know, put me down. Well, for him, medicate me, you know, help me, you know, function normally type stuff. And I thought that was really cool. And he was a big fan of, what was it, the Hellraiser, that Octane, and even some of the Sour, which I know you had coming back.
Yeah, exactly. I still love the old school strains, so I stay working with, you know, Sours and OGs and, you know, Chems and stuff like that. Just the market's so saturated, and, you know, people really, really want bag appeal and fruity vibes. And so,
yeah,
you know, I feel like I put out enough of a variety to keep everybody happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you most certainly have enough of a variety, bro, and launching nonstop. One of the other things, again, shout out to the email list, because I don't think enough people know about that. And this is where I heard about, for the first time, your membership program and then eventually offering cuts. So fill us in a little bit of what it means for the membership program to be a part of that.
Yeah, so the membership's doing real good. I got a lot of people that actually sign up to be a member. Now the email list is different than the membership. So the
right.
Email list, you go to the website, subscribe to the newsletter. In there, you'll find out about new drops, new sales, all that bullshit. And yeah, if you want to know about that, go to the fucking website, sign up for the newsletter. They'll make you verify so you're not a bot. And then you're on and you're in. You could get better deals, good sale prices, all that bullshit. And find out about new drops or special like unreleased stuff that I might throw in free.
Yeah, like I don't think people understand how much value is actually in that thing, bro. I didn't get it until I was on there, and you're one of the few people I actually open up all the emails to actually check out what's going on, what's, you know, what are the deals and what's up. And that's where I eventually heard about the membership program.
Yeah, so the membership program, you know, it's like a monthly subscription, and you know, you pay. There's different levels. There's bronze, gold, and platinum, and yeah, you know, you pay for that. I think the low levels 250, mid levels 500, the high levels 1,000. You get billed
Gotcha.
monthly, and you get, you know, a crazy amount of seed packs for each level. The top tier, you get a free cut every month. You know what I mean? So now
Right.
you're getting a breeder cut plus a bunch of packs, and it's, you know, I got a lot of facilities that sign up for that, so they stay ahead of the game. You know, you get cuts nobody else has. You got packs coming constantly when you're constantly doing pheno hunts. But we,
Right,
you
right.
know, we made an entry level, you know, the bronze version or whatever, and that's for, you know, home growers that just want, you know, 5 packs a month, something like that, coming in every month. And then, you know, you stay ahead of the game, you always have the new shit, and yeah, maybe give your friend a free pack, you know, make your sister grow a pack, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
So
dude. I got my
it works out
stepdad
for
doing
everybody.
my stepdad's doing Mr. Big Runs up in Canada right now. Shout out to you, Mr. Bacon, brother. I love that
Nice,
man.
nice.
Yeah, dude, he's rocky. He's taking it so serious too. He's got the clones, he's backing it up, and then he's gonna be doing the unreleased after. I told him to start with the unreleased, but he'd already loved the hype so much already from the Mr. Big Runs. Dude, that's
Yeah.
sick. That's awesome. I think I would that's something like the cuts for me, I always get bummed out being in Colombia because I mean, there's just still no option here. You know what I mean? Especially international. I imagine there's no way that cuts ever go internationally, huh?
Yeah, they go international.
Shut up.
They ship.
Really?
They ship safely, and then everything's always guaranteed. So if they arrive at your door and they're wilted and fucked up, well, you just send us an email. We ship them back out to you, make sure they arrive
What?
safely.
Oh
You know what I
my
mean?
God. All right, dude. Well.
Everything's always guaranteed. Listen, that's why, like I said, I don't burn bridges. So if you spent 1,000, or you spent 250, or you spent 100,000, your money's always good, and we want repeat customers. We're in it. We've been here since the 90s. You know, I ain't going nowhere. So the last thing I want is someone leaving with a bad taste. You know that. So
Right.
everything's always going to be taken care of. So yeah, if you ever ordered cuts, you're in fucking Australia, the cut comes dead. Don't worry about it. We send it back out. Make sure it doesn't matter if it takes 10 times. We get it to your doorstep and make sure you're happy. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, bro, you're amazing. All right, well, we gotta talk for like 10 minutes after this podcast then. Bro, last question for me, and then we're gonna go to the communities. Can HomeGrow TV come and tour at some point? Can we see these amount of tents? Can we see some of the process?
Yeah, absolutely. I used to show them on live every single morning, and then I got sick of fucking fighting with people on live, and then just the time, especially now with the new baby and you know, trying to
Oh,
enjoy
yeah.
life,
Of
traveling.
course.
You
Yeah.
know, we're building out a new $7 million facility for Foxwoods in Connecticut, and yeah, the shit is insane. So we're constantly, you know, reinvesting, working, and putting in the fucking work. And I love showing off, you know, like I love flexing on the gram, but the weed shit, it gets tough because I get reported and my shit gets torn down. That's another reason why I got that fucking blue check mark, is because I, you know, I want to make sure my page don't get deleted like how it always would. I got,
Right.
you know, like 4 or 5 different backup pages. I lost accounts that just had crazy following, and it sucks. You know what I mean? And when I post weed shit, especially if I post it on my wall post, I won't do it anymore. I don't post wall posts with weed ever. They get taken
Right.
down automatically. It says, whatever, you know, illegal substances, this and that. And it's the
Yeah.
stupidest thing, because I see High Times full weed. Even your page, you got all that
Yeah.
weed up there. I'm like, man, God forbid, you know, fucking, they just tear it down. And then you're sitting there looking around, you know,
Right?
looking around like, well,
Totally.
what am I going to do? My whole fucking page got torn, ripped down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I kind of feel like that's the vibe on Instagram for a good minute at least until that changes. YouTube, I still feel, you know, we're just putting in the education and the time, but Instagram is still not safe. At any moment, it could disappear, but I think they're
Yeah,
doing it
that's,
right.
you know, so yeah, you know, it's tough, and especially with the lives, man. I'll go live from the facility, they'll report it, and then I can't go live for 2 weeks. They'll just shut
Yeah.
my lives off for 2 weeks just because I was showing plants, and then I had a hater in there just hitting the report button nonstop. You know what I mean?
Oh
So
my God,
I
bro.
don't know how it works. I don't know how the fuck it works, but yeah, they shut me down so many times that I just try to chill out, and you know, I show stupid shit, you know, like the fucking baller shit that either pisses people off or motivates people. I'm only
Right.
trying to show people that, listen, I came from the projects, from the real hood. And I made it this far after prison, after fucking struggling, being homeless, all that shit. All because of cannabis, basically, and having a good head on my shoulders and being smart. And, you know, everybody else can do the same thing. So I'm just here to motivate people to get money and do the right thing. I'm not here to fucking brag and fucking be like, oh, look at me, look at me. I don't even show my face. I hide. I don't want people, you know what I mean? I just want you to see the possibilities if you take negativity and turn it into positivity and keep a fucking good head on your shoulders, that you can do the same thing. You could be sitting in Maybachs, buying Rolls Royces, buying fucking diamond watches, penthouses, and, you know, crazy buildings. You could do all this. It takes work, and you know, you got to be strong, but at the end of the day, you can make it this far, because if I could do it, anybody could do it. You know what I mean? Anybody could do it in any industry, not just weed. You could be doing it as a landscaper. You could be doing it as a baker, fucking painter, whatever the fuck. You could start you small, grow your company, have people work for you, and end up being a multimillionaire just like I am. It's just, you know, you got to have the drive, man. You got to have the drive. So don't take it in a negative way. Oh, copy's flexing on us. Oh, this and that. Nah, I'm just happy that I made it to where I am. That's it.
Dude, that was perfect. And that really was what I wanted to get into from one of these community questions, because it was – you literally answered just that. We're going to hit on it again anyway. Do you mind? We're going to do just quick. We'll go through the community questions. You can – some of these will be really quick. You can just reel it off. They're yes, no answers. Some of them are straight up. Some of them you can spend a little bit more time on if you'd like to. But I promised the audience on the gram that we were going to make this as real, transparent as possible, meaning I was going to include their questions word for word. Haters, lovers, everything. Are
yeah,
you down?
I seen one you fucking around. Go ahead, play it. Let me hear it.
Okay, cool. So we're going to start off light. This one's real straight up. Some of these we've already answered before, but this is the first one. Do you ship internationally? People are asking from Guam, Europe, right? Austria and Australia.
Yeah, all day, every day.
Perfect. Boom. We already nailed that. So this one's the fun. This one I'm sure you've probably seen on the Instagram. This one's going word for word. Why are you an arrogant douche? Why are you posing on the gram with luxury stuff like a millionaire? And I wish I would have asked this right before, because you just hit it and spend as little time and as much as you want to on it. But
that's the fact. So people take it as either being a douche or being fucking flexing on the gram or all that bullshit. But anybody that knows me, dude, you know me, and I help you out anytime I get a chance. I help everybody out. I'm here to see everybody succeed, get this money, take care of your families, take care of yourself, live a better lifestyle, not be fucking tied to a job and making $10 an hour or whatever the fuck. And I get it. And trust me, even I joke about it. Dude, my wife gets on me. She tells me all the time. She's like, dude, what, you look stupid. You know what I mean? You're taking pictures in front of the fucking your cars. What are you doing? You know? And I'm like, dude, I came from nothing. Okay. I would have never believed that I would even sit in a Lamborghini. Now owning rental companies and all these crazy fucking, you know, luxury items and all these shiny things. Listen, in reality, you know, I'd throw it all away to be fucking happy and, you know, healthy, living with my wife and creating family. I'd throw it all away. But the thing is, having it all is great. And I'm proud of it. You know what I mean? So like working hard and, you know, you get a goal, say you want your new camera and, you know, you want the best camera. It's, you know, $5,000-$10,000. You got to work. You work your way up. You start with your little shitty camera. You end up getting the nice new camera. You know what I mean? You appreciate that, you know? So it's the same thing. You know, I started the same way with the, you know, the little Nikons, and then worked my way up to the brand new Sonys, the G Master series, all this shit. And I was proud to do that. So when you start with a Toyota and you end up in a fucking Rolls Royce Cullinan, that's $750,000. I want a picture in front of it, dog. You know, I worked so hard to achieve that level that me being there is a dream come true. All right. I grew up in the projects. So me getting to that level, there's no higher level. You know what I mean? So it's like I got to show people that it's possible. I have to show people that you could grow up in the projects and end up fucking in a luxury car like that, or in a penthouse in a skyscraper. Like, that's insane to me. I would have never, ever dreamed that. There was nights I was in prison. You know what I mean? I spent 2 years in just one bid, you know? total, I ended up 5 years in prison over weed, always over weed. So 5 years in prison. There was nights that I thought I would die in prison. I would get stabbed and end up dead. For me to be sitting right now in the back of a Maybach 101 that nobody else on the planet has is a dream. It's a dream come true. So, I mean, I got to be proud of that. So, you know, it's not me being arrogant or cocky or a fucking douchebag. It's me being proud to come from the fucking projects or jail cell where I thought I was going to die to a fucking sitting in the back of a Maybach. What the fuck?
Yeah, bro. I love it, man.
Got to be proud.
And it, for me, it brings a smile to my face to hear and to hear you word it that way. And to know you now, to at least to have these levels of conversation or this in depth. And the more I hear from you, the more I get to speak to you, the more I see. It's obvious. It's true. I think what happens a lot of the time is people hear the name. It's out there a lot. And then they dive into one story. They see one little thing. I mean, I'll be real. The choice of words that you have sometimes, your accent, the certain things. Like, I get why someone would come in for one story and go, bro, what is going on here? But –
oh,
look,
yeah,
I don't judge.
Sure.
I grew up from a family where, dude, it's crazy the things I've seen. And also, I'm not the most respectful person all the time either. So I never judge a book by its cover. I never have. And again, what are we all here for? In this case, we're all here just hunting for fire. So I always let that part slide. But I will say, bro, I have a lot of respect for you now. And when you put it that way, it does bring a smile to my face because it motivates me. And it doesn't so much piss me off or enrage me or make me jealous. It kind of inspires. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I see it. I get
yeah,
it.
And I'm old, so a lot of the young cats, listen, you got a long life to live. A lot of the times I thought I wouldn't see 27. When I grew up, you know, I grew up with like Kurt Cobain and dudes like that. So I thought it was, you know, right, inevitable, especially in the streets, guns, drugs, you know, pushing weight. I figured I'd be dead by 27, 100%. So to be the age I am now, you know, I'm 44 years old and, you know, I live this long. That's why I'm doing good now. You didn't see me like a lot of you guys that are 20, 22, 25 and struggling. Just hang in there. You'll make it. Just, you know, take the negativity and find some positivity in it and do better. You know, when just do better. So no matter how bad it fucking gets, know that you're here for a reason. And with time and hard work, you'll fucking make it out of that shithole wherever you're in. You know what I mean? And trust me, I was there. I was 20. I was in the worst of worst. You know what I mean? So you can make it, you know? And don't let no one fucking tell you, you know, that you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to be shit. I heard it my whole fucking life. I ain't never going to be shit. Now look at me.
Brother. Hell yes.
So this is what it is.
So what defines a keeper cultivar for copycat genetics?
Yeah, the basics. You know what I mean? The first most important thing is it has to fit the schedule. It has to be 56 days flower time or under. So no matter how fire it is, no matter the bag appeal, no matter the terps, doesn't matter. If it ain't 56 days or less, I can't fuck with it. You know what I mean? So my goal always is the most top priority is being on schedule. Now, again, you know, if something is 9 weeks and super fire, I might keep it around and breed it to a 49-day strain that's just as fire to make it more around the 56-day mark. So I may keep it around, but I'm not going to release it. I'm going to, you know, and I'm not going to put it in production either. I'm going to keep it around and breed with it until that motherfucker reaches 56 days. And then, you know, obviously the rest of the boxes, the terps, depending on what, you know, what I'm looking for, whether it be a grape strain or watermelon, whatever the fuck, you know, the terps got to be loud, got to be on point. And then, you know, the rest goes along with it. Bag appeal, of course, super important. You know what I mean? How high it gets you, you know. As far as numbers, I don't really give a fuck about the THC numbers. Up here, the labs, they all be testing shit extra high. The way they calibrate their machines, there's like, I swear to God, it's like 10% over. So you'll see some of my strains testing 42%. Right. Dude, you test that, you send it out west or you send it to Colorado, it comes back 32%. You know what I mean?
Got
it's
you.
The way they calibrate machines. So don't take the numbers too fucking important, you know, because the way the market is, they think the higher the number, the faster the sell. So you got the labs calibrating their machines. So they test high all the time. You know what I mean? And it is what it is. You know, some states, they do the cap. So, you know, they can't have shit test higher than 30%. So they calibrate it under. So a strain that'll test 32, it'll only test 22. So it depends on the lab you're getting tested at. Don't even take those numbers serious. What you got to do is smoke the shit, see how it affects you.
Yeah, I'm glad you hit on that because that was one of the questions we were going to dive into, but I think you nailed it. And I think a lot of people put a little bit too much focus on those numbers or too much hopes on that, that literally I get this, that's what I'm going to get at home. It's not never something that I ever really consider or think about or look. That's just kind of like, curious to see what happens after, you know?
It's all on how you calibrate those machines, man. And people forget that this is a business and you got fucking people calibrating shit the way they want to make sure – you know, numbers look good in the fucking marketplace. I had shit that I walk in a dispensary, it says 37% THC. There's not a crystal on the fucking bud. I go home, the buds are already screened. You know what I mean? Yeah. They screen them for rosin. They take all the buds, they screen them first.
Right.
Then they put the buds in the jar after they knocked all the trichomes off. You know what I mean?
I've heard the horror stories. That's ridiculous,
man. Yeah, and they're telling me that's 37%. I smoked the shit, you won't even get a buzz. What are you talking about?
Ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
So here's a question coming from someone looking to get established as a breeder. Where does a new breeder start in terms of becoming a legitimate business?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on your state and all that stuff. I mean, a legitimate business, I mean, you could sign up right now and just make an LLC with, you know, gov.com, whatever the fuck. And yeah, you could start in your closet and, you know, you could become a legal breeder with your plant count in your state. And you could start that way, you know, if, you know, you got more money to invest and there's licenses available, then you could go that route too, you know what I mean? So it's just different ways to go about it.
Beautiful. How long do you dry your seeded plants?
0% humidity, 14 days.
Boom.
Yeah, the shit turns to powder. We dry it. So a lot of people dry their weed different, you know, 50% humidity, 14 days. That's if you're drying flower. If you're drying seeded weed, you got to be 0% humidity or leave the humidifiers on continuous. So that means it drops it down below 20%. The buds will turn super crispy. You fucking screen them all out, take all your seeds out, and then leave the seeds in either strainers or some type of rack system with the screens and let those seeds dry out alone without any type of flower material for another couple of days, 2-3 days, longer if you want, depending on, you know, how many seeds you produce. You know what I mean?
Perfect, bro. I'm going to keep railing through them because I know we're past the hour. We want to respect your time. Are you still good for a few more?
Yeah, I'm good. Keep them rolling.
Okay, cool. This one's fun, interesting, and also nice and reflective. First strain that you ever grew, and we might even hit this on our first live.
Yeah, just I started growing straight up weed from my dad's ashtray, all right? My dad would smoke weed. He would pick the seeds out, so it was just Mexican brick weed. He picked the seeds out, leaving it in his ashtray. I'd take the ashtray, I'd go out in the fucking garden, and, you know, my dad's garden, tomatoes, vegetables, shit like that, and I'd be planting fucking pot seeds in the back of the garden, you know, where he didn't really go back there too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they started sprouting, and, you know, back in the day, people said you couldn't grow weed, and especially in, like, Boston area, you know what I mean?
Like, they it was impossible?
Or, like, yeah, illegal? Well, back in the day, it was impossible, like, no one believed you could grow weed, and then they had a term called homegrown. So, like, if you did grow the weed, it was homegrown and it was no good. You know what I mean?
Right.
But besides all that, it was all negative, you know? So I just kept growing and growing and fucking, yo, the plant started growing. And, yeah, eventually, you know, my dad stopped killing the fucking things because he used to pick them out and throw them, you know, kill them and be like, it's illegal. Stop doing it. So, you know, eventually I got one to a bud stage.
Yeah.
That's when I figured out that you couldn't smoke the leaves. You had to smoke the fucking bud. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, then I dried that bud out and it smelled like skunk and it was so much better than any weed I ever seen, you know, as far as the brown fucking weed that we would get.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was off to the races after that.
Wow. So it really did kind of get you started, huh? That first kind of experience really got you intrigued on the breeding side as well.
Yeah, 12 years old. Well, we had once you knew weed, obviously weed was worth money. So it would be a question of how do I get more seeds to grow more weed? And then the males would just grow. And when you're young and, you know, you don't know, there was no, like, books telling you this shit. And if there was, I didn't have them, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
you just knew that the fucking weed grew seeds because of the male plant. So you would just fucking, you know, dedicate, you know, some areas, say, like, you know, if you're growing illegally in the woods, you would dedicate one patch to leave the males so you have seeds for next year, and you dedicate the other patches to kill the males so you have good sensimilia to sell without seeds. You know what I mean? So that's why we would breed. it was automatic. If you grew weed back in the day, you had to make seeds because there was no way to get clones. There was no Rockwool. There was no clone gel. There was none of that shit. So
right.
That's why I made seeds. 1992, I was making seeds. I had no choice. There was no fucking other way. You had to make seeds. You know what I mean?
That's unbelievable, bro.
That's how you did it. You know, there was no other way. And anybody from back then, they'd tell you exactly that. There was no other way. You had to make seeds. That's it. And it didn't matter because all the weeds you bought on the streets had seeds in it. So it didn't matter. There was no, that's why the Sensimilia, well, that's what it was called. You know, back then it wasn't even like Kind Bud or any strains. It was either brickweed or Sensimilia. And the Sensimilia would fetch $400 an ounce. The brickweed would get $100 an ounce. So, you know what I mean? It was not a question. Yeah, I'm going to grow Sensimilia. You know what I mean? But so it was what it was.
A good minute ago, and so many things have changed nowadays. And here's a question now, but for the future, where do you see the cannabis/hemp industry in the next 10 years?
Yeah, it's constantly changing, but yeah, it's gonna go the route that, you know, I'm going with the genetic modification, especially for the bigger farms and the outdoor crops and the greenhouses, stuff like that. They're gonna want to get into genetic modification, but obviously branding has a lot to do with it. You're going to see more celebrities getting in, more brands being built by rappers or whoever the fuck. And, you know, it's more work for, you know, the good breeders like us, and because we got to make the strains. I already had multiple licensing deals within the last 5 years with releasing, you know, genetics to big brands that are owned by rappers, whether it's, you know, Bella Thorne or fucking Jay-Z, guys like that.
Yeah,
Afro Man, different people like that. They want to build a brand, but they want the best strains. So it's good for the breeders that have been in it a while, that are on the grind, because they'll be able to license their fucking genetics to big brand names and get big checks. You know, that's how it is.
And so overall, you're positive about the next 10 years, the industry in the States as a whole or worldwide, internationally. You see it as an exciting time, good things.
Yeah, I hope we get federally legal so we can start doing export into at least to Canada, you know, in bulk. You know what I mean,
without doing it up there, man.
So that'll be great.
Specific question here around strains from Copycat on more of the medicinal side. I know we covered anyone listening to a lot of this information as well on the podcast we did with Mickey from Elevated Cannabis, but from you specifically, Copy, tell me from your perspective some of your strains that are maybe more leaning on the medicinal side.
Yeah, Dr. Sleep, obviously, for one. And there's a lot of other strains that carry a lot of high CBN ratio. I feel like the CBN helps a lot. But yeah, to me, it's strain specific and it's person specific. So I don't really like to look at things like that. That's why. So Elevated will know more what works for him and what strains help him and his ailments or whatever. And that's why I work closely with him and get feedback from him. But again, it's a person-to-person thing. We all have different receptors in our body and, you know, different strains and even the same strain taken different days. You know, if you take it 56 days and he takes it 70 days, then, you know, those trichomes are going to produce more amber. The THCA is going to turn to more CBN. The CBN is going to help you more even on just one strain, depending on how it's grown. So at the end of the day, I try to leave that all up to the actual person. You know what I mean? So you got to try what works for you. When people just say, like, there's companies, you know, I won't name any, but there's companies I know that just promote, oh, this helps anxiety, this helps this. That's all bullshit. They're just lying to you to make a quick buck. What really helps is you have to fucking decide what helps you. I can't tell you. I don't know what receptors you have or how this strain's going to affect you. You know what I mean? And me telling you that is lying. And I tell the facts, whether you like it or not. Like, a lot of people won't want to hear me say this. They want to hear me push a certain strain on them so they could run and buy it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And if I was greedy, I would fucking be telling you, oh, go buy this. It helps with anxiety. Go buy that. It'll help with this.
Yeah.
But I tell you the facts. You try the strains. You pheno hunt, grow it at 56 days, see if it helps. Try it again at 63 days, see if that helps. Try it again at 70 days when it's totally amber and overripe. Maybe that helps the most. And then, you know, you come up with something that you like that fits you the best. Me, I can't tell you that. And me telling you I can tell you that is a blatant fucking lie, and I won't do it, and I never have done it. You know what I mean?
I totally get where you're coming from. Now, even when I think back to a lot of my seed to harvest, we always say, like, when we go through that section from the website, we say, you know, it's supposedly going to give you this and that, but at the same time, now when I think, well, when I grow that out, I have two different phenos. I grew just two seeds from said website, right? And yeah. I'm supposed to be getting euphoric something effects. Dude, they're totally different phenos. I got this one that's leaning like hardcore on this amnesia side, and this other one that's like totally like from Cookies Exotic something. And I'm like, they're going to be totally different effects. They're totally different aromas, terps, everything. So I'm absolutely even getting to the point where it's misleading in the episodes. And that's why we've created that post-harvest analysis. Like, from when we harvested ours, here's our experience from these phenos that we've live sitting down with you guys. And I think, yeah, it's a great way to
put it. You know, there's so many factors even after that, you know what I mean? Especially from the person and from the plant. So the plant, right, you know, the nutrients, organic, live organic, hydro, yeah, house and garden, advanced, this, that. And then how long did you take the trichomes? Because at the end of the day, you only are growing essential oils, okay? That's where all the cannabinoids are and the terps and all that. So how far did you take those? Did you take them too long, not long enough? What? Some people might want it premature, you know what I mean? Premature, where it doesn't contain any CBN. Some people might want it fucking overripe. So, you know, it's really up to you. And the plant is so crazy and, you know, so many things going on that we still don't even understand. We can only test for so many terps. People are getting caught up in the terpene. Did you get it tested for the terps? They're only testing for 20 terpenes, and there's over 70 terpenes present in cannabis. So, like, they're getting caught up in the wrong things. They're getting caught up in these numbers, these tests. We can't even test for all the cannabinoids. We can't even test for all the terpenes. So stop getting caught up in it. Grow it and see what helps you. Stop worrying about all the testing, at least for another decade before we could catch up to proper testing. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. My thing always, you know, because I come from back in the day, is smoke it, see if you like it. That's the fucking point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Grow the shit, smoke the shit, see if you like it. If you like it, then you stop playing with it. Take it a little bit longer next time. See if you like that better, or maybe you liked it less. Maybe take it a little shorter. Then you play with your plants. And then after, you know, a year or so and doing testing, maybe that's the plant for you for life. Maybe not. You start a new strain. You know what I mean? It's a fucking ongoing thing. That's why cannabis is so great, and that's why, you know, we all love cannabis so much. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a crazy hobby, man. Yeah, I don't think I'll ever get bored of it. It's just the hunt when you pop that seed, waiting to see what's going to happen in a few months with the flower, just the ongoing chasing. Yeah. You know, we're always hunting. It's never going to get boring, at least for me. So
I've been doing it 30-something years, and I'm still not bored of the shit. So I'm still hunting like a fucking maniac. I constantly ask myself, why am I hunting so many fucking seeds? Is some, like, a lot of them end up being whack. I'm like, why am I wasting the money buying the packs and getting it from here, wasting the time, wasting the energy just to throw the fucking things out? But I'm addicted. I keep doing it. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Right? I'm sure, like, most of us here tuned into the podcast. I just want to say, dude, thank you so much, man, for coming out, staying out extra long here, answering some of the questions from the community. Where's the best place for us to be able to stay in touch with you, keep up with everything that's going down, Copycat?
Copycat Genetics with 2 X's on Instagram.
Boom. There it is. Dude, thank you so much, man. Is there anything else that you want to throw out to the community before we end this?
Nah, I appreciate the support. I appreciate your time having me on here. And yeah, if you guys ever need me, just reach out. And I'm always here answering questions. I go live every day. Jump in and fucking... yeah, hopefully I don't yell at you. You heard?
Dude, much love, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you guys so much. Make sure you share this with the grow bro that needs to hear it. Really helps the podcast. Throw down a comment. Throw a like. And guys, stay tuned, because we got a seed to harvest, the biggest we've ever done, the largest scale pheno hunt from North America. We got Hygen in the USA. We got Basement up in Canada. We got myself here in Colombia. We did a hunt of pheno, or a hunt of pheno. We did a hunt of 50 different phenos here in Colombia, and that seed to harvest is going to be packed with all of it. Lab results, extraction results, different areas and nuts. So stay tuned for that, guys. That will be coming live on YouTube. Make sure you follow everything on Instagram, and we'll see you guys next week on Homegrow TV.